from PRX.
Friends beyond binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time for a podcaster who's here to keep you company, take your mind off of stuff, to be your friend in the deep, dark night, your boar bud. If you're new, you never listened to the show before, welcome. This is a very different podcast. It's a podcast that keeps you company so you could fall asleep. That's like your friend in the deep, dark night. I'm here to be your boar bud. And I'll explain more in a little bit. But this podcast does take a few tries to get used to, because it's very different. So give it a few tries, see how it goes. I'm only here to help. What I got coming up, we got support, so you can listen for free if you want to the ad-supported feed. Then we have a long, meandering intro, and that's separate from the support. And the intro is like 15, 20 minutes long. It's really like friendly chit-chat from a goofball, but it's there to ease you into bedtime. It does put a couple people to sleep, but for most people, it's a little bit of a wind-down and a long, meandering, pointless explanation of what the podcast is. Then we'll have some support, and then we'll be opening a board game that I got for the holidays from a coworker. So that's cool. And all told, we'll be here just over an hour. So I'm glad you're here. Thanks for checking the show out. And I really hope I can help you fall asleep. And these sponsors are how we're able to do it for you twice a week. But this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, with just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead and start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking if the answer to those questions are yes. Yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show. If it was missing from my life, I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now if the answer is yes to those questions. So we don't have to go through, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. All right, everybody. It is time to talk about the mattress I sleep in nightly. And tonight's sponsor, Helix. Helix Sleep. Take that quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. And oh, how do I love my Helix. And not only do I love my Helix, my family members love their Helix. I just stayed at a family member's house and I saw my nephew Daniel had a Helix. I believe his parents have a Helix Sleep too. So it's just so refreshing to know that I'm not the only one enjoying sleeping on mine. But each one of us is different, right? And that's why Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection. There's mattresses for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you know which mattress is going to be best for you, the way you sleep, and your body is to take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That's helixsleep.com/sleep. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows you want to get to know your mattress, right? And you get to sleep on it in your own home. They offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. And since everybody's unique and everyone sleeps differently, Helix has different mattress models to choose from, designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam for pressure relief if you sleep on your side, responsive foam to cradle your body if you're a stomach or back sleeper. And way back when I took that Helix sleep quiz, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I chose the Helix Dusk Lux. You know, I sleep on my stomach. I sleep on my side. I like to be cool. I love this mattress. Anytime I travel, I'm counting the days to get home and get in my Helix bed. And Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. That's helixsleep.com/sleep. Thanks, everybody. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo. Modern management made simple. All right, everybody, Scoots here. It's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone, the one part of the podcast I need you here. It's where I pop my peas. If you please, I thank the listeners who supported the sponsors. Yeah, this part of the podcast is a little bit higher energy than the rest of the show because these are the people who keep the show free for everybody. I would love to be saying your name here. If you support a sponsor, let them know about it. Let me know about it so I could thank you here on the Sleepy Supporter Zone. We haven't heard from anybody in a little while, but I wanted to thank some people who took the time to support the show and to write up some testimonials about why they support the show on Sleep With Me Plus. And I want to thank Sharon, who said, yeah, I can afford to support the show. It helps calm my mind enough to sleep. So there's so much I appreciate about the show. And Sharon said, if you're thinking about supporting the show, remember, it feels so good to support the podcast. And supporting artists, even bore artists, is crucial to them being around. Thank you, Sharon, for supporting the show. If you want to be like Sharon, hear your name on the Sleepy Supporter Zone, support a sponsor, let them know about it, let me know about it. Fill out the form at sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors or support the show directly and we'll send you a testimonial to ask your opinion. Thank you so much, Sharon. The second part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone is you getting the support you need right now. If you're having a tough time, there's links to resources in our show notes, including international resources. You could connect with right now. It's also about being a part of positive change with our actions, not just saying Black Lives Matter, not just saying support Ukraine, not just saying stop AAPI hate, not just saying all these things, but taking action, learning more. There's links to resources. We could do that in the show notes. And you could join us. The things we're supporting right now, Sleep With Me directly, me personally, is the Midnight Mission in Los Angeles. It's a shelter that's there to help people experiencing homelessness. We're supporting the Trevor Project. You can support the Trevor Project directly as well. And we're supporting Hand in Hand. You know, I first heard about Hand in Hand from RGB, and I've been supporting it. And right now is an important time to support an organization looking to move forward. Hand in Hand is Israel's fastest growing integrated social movement. Their work reaches thousands of people every day, proving we can live together as Jews and Arabs, Israelis and Palestinians. And while there's a lot of different ways to support whatever's hurting your heart right now, Hand in Hand is one of those. And that's the one we've been supporting. And you could learn more about the Midnight Mission, Hand in Hand, or the Trevor Project and support any of those organizations or support whatever works for you. But you can see those links right in our show notes. Oh, Mystery Bard, a lot of people help out in the show. Who are they?
Chris Posty Posterson.
Sounds like a near fall.
Wrote the theme song.
Edits episodes too.
Carl W. The Legend.
Also edits episodes.
Ashley, Kenny, Scotty, Jennifer.
Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
I'll write a song for you.
Any reason at all.
You can tell me the story and
I'll make it personal.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are
next mystery bard. Don't forget, if you want a freeway, you say, well, I love the ad-supported show, Scoots, but I prefer something without the supporter zone or without this stuff. If you can't afford to support the show directly, you could sign up for our referral program for free. Refer people to the free podcast and get access to ad-free episodes and story-only episodes. That's at sleepwithmepodcast.com/R-E-F-E-R. That's refer. sleepwithmepodcast.com/refer. What do you say? We slow it down and get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm already mixed up. This is my first, I don't know when you'll be hearing this. This is my first intro of 2024. So welcome to my past. Get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake. It could be thoughts on your mind, thoughts you're thinking about, thoughts about the past, the present, the future, thinking thoughts. It could be feelings, anything coming up for you emotionally, like feelings related to those thoughts. It could be feelings that are left over from the day, or feelings that are just there, or feelings that are making an appearance. My thoughts and my feelings and my physical sensations like to do an appearance at bedtime where they go, ta-da, but not like, I guess that's their spirit. Like, I don't see that. And I think that's how they hope to be received, is like, ta-da, we're here performing now, or competing for your attention. And I say, well, here's the thing. Unless you're in a life partnership or a part-time partner, you know, whatever, you're sharing a bed with a magician, or, you know, like Cole's getting, you know, like has a magician in the other room, like no ta-das at bedtime, right? Like keep ta-das. I can't say keep ta-das out of the bedroom, but keep the ta-das out of let's just keep the ta-da, you know, like no ta-das. I guess that's too, usually I'm fine with generalized statements about stuff, but I don't know if I can make this work, but let's keep the ta-das to a minimum. Okay, here's the thing. No impromptu, well, no, can't do that either. No impromptu ta-das. You know, because if you're going to kiss somebody on the cheek or, that would be a pretty good ta-da. Ta-da, good night. Let's keep the ta-das sleepy, right? If you're going to have them in the bedroom or bed, or here's the thing, my thoughts, my feelings, my physical sensations, could you save the ta-das for tomorrow when I need them? How come you don't do any ta-das in the morning? You don't, to-dos, we got a lot of to-dos. But you say, oh no, to-woes, that's my, instead of ta-da, you say, to-d-o-o-m, to-woe. If I could use some ta-das when right after the alarm instead of snooze, how about you give me some ta-das? I don't know. How did that even come up? Oh, feelings, physical sensations, whatever's keeping you awake. Ta-das, to-dos, or to-dos, to-dos, to not to-dos. I didn't even realize that. I'm not kidding. That I wasn't thinking of to-dos. D-O-Z-E. I was just thinking of the, like, nonsense word to doze, like plural do's. But to doze or not to doze, that's not the question with sleep with me. It is for new listeners, right? So whatever's keeping you awake, it could be time travel, routine, work schedule, work shift, guests, anticipation. You could be going through something, you could have something coming up, it could be something else. There's a lot of different things keeping people awake, but for most people that listen to this show, it contains a couple feelings, right? And they're not easy feelings, and we'd prefer to just get some sleep instead of having like those feelings go, ta-da, great news, tomorrow's night, Now, look, let me give you the weather for tomorrow. And I'm not talking about the weather patterns. Talking about predicting the future. Doesn't look good, right? And then you get those feelings, or you just knowing it's going to be a struggle to fall asleep. And whether you're in a house full of people or you're single and maybe you got a dog named Co in your room, maybe Co is not there, whatever it is, it can feel lonely, right? Or other feelings. And that's kind of the spirit of the show is that, well, I don't know what exactly you're going through or what's causing you. And maybe you don't know, right? I do know how it feels for me. And I can probably relate to how it feels for you. But here's the thing. Even if you say, I don't think you can, like what I'm experiencing is pretty unique. It probably is pretty unique, but there's enough people listening that even if someone hasn't experienced the same thing, someone has experienced something similar and they do know how you feel. And they are leaning in right now, those regular listeners. People have listened to hundreds of episodes or thousands of episodes, and they're nodding their head right now because they know how you feel. And they say, I'm glad you're here. I hope this show can help you. Because that's important, and that other side of that is important. You deserve a good night's sleep. You deserve a bedtime where you don't have this rigmarole, this anticipation that doesn't feel so great. You deserve a bedtime where you could get the rest you need so your life is more manageable and ideally you could be out there flourishing. That's the fact of this, that's true. And that's important to me because I know how it feels and I know what it feels like. And I know when I do get the regular rest I need, my life improves. And so I want that for you. So that's why I make the show. What I do is I send my voice across the deep, dark night. Use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, and superfluous tangents, which means I go off topic, I get mixed up, I forget what I was saying, then I double back, then I get lost, then I wonder, then I wah-wah wonder why my thoughts went away, and then, because I already forgot the other tangent, I went, oh, ta-da's, so then I say ta-do's. Oh, I didn't even realize I could go, I thought it was a word that sounds like toes. What do you call, toes on a doe, ta-do's? That's a hoof, actually, sir. Oh, sorry, I didn't realize I was at the Institute of Doe Terminology, and, sorry, I didn't mean to troll you. Like imaginary part of my brain that corrects me when I call a doe's hoof to doe's. What do you call a magician who only makes hooves appear from does? Obviously not real ones, but you know, some sort of thing. What do they say instead of ta-da? They say to doe's. What do you call a sleep podcaster if what I used was magic, but it's really just pointless meanders and superfluous tangents? What would I say if I was doing it in person and I had some sort of magic way to make it happen? Tados. Or if I was, you know, being Shakespearean, I'd still say tados or not tados. That is not the question. It's unquestionable. I could go on tangents like this for hours and hours if I needed to. So those are pointless meanders and superfluous tangents, creaky dulcet tones. My voice is not traditionally soothing. It's more to be a friend in the deep, dark night, because that's kind of what this show does. Now, this show does not work for most people on the first try. Most people loathe the podcast the first time they listen to it, and sometimes the second. Sometimes it's only the first time. Ideally, if you're stronger than loathe me, I would still say give the show two or three tries and just see how it goes, because then you can always stop listening. Also, when you do stop listening, I have a website set up, sleepwithmepodcast.com/nothankyou, which has other sleep podcasts and sleepy stuff on there you could check out. So there's that. But then, what was my other point in there? Oh, but for most people, that's just like what most reviewers say is these are people that became hardcore listeners that support the show. At first, they couldn't stand me. Or they were just like, what is this show? How is this supposed to put me to sleep? And that's not bragging. Obviously, it's not something you would brag about. Be like, yeah, most people just, I mean, it's just the truth. Most people, they have a slight aversion to me at first. You say, I don't know about this. That's natural. I mean, that's normal. And it comes with a healthy dose of skepticism, right? Because if you've tried a bunch of sleep stuff, if you're tired, you're frustrated, why wouldn't you be skeptical about a sleep podcast? I mean, I've been making this show for 10 years, but or whatever. This is the 11th calendar year we're making the show, I think. Or we're past the 11th. We're in the 11th year. I don't know. But why wouldn't you be skeptical? I'm supposed to put you to sleep. Shouldn't I be, you know, humming or doing some sort of soothing sounds or I'm droning, but not the kind of droning you were expecting. So give it a few tries, see how it goes. Couple of things that throw people off is that this is a podcast you just barely listen to. It's just barely supposed to engage you. It does engage you just enough to take your mind off of whatever's keeping you awake, to bring your brain and your thoughts over here where I am, going on my pointless meanders, spinning my wheels, looking at that, as the text-based adventures would say. And, so it's just something that's just outside yourself that you don't have to listen to. You could listen, or you could just barely listen. Like, it's okay in this context for you to just dial it in and say, okay, great, spinning your text adventures. Don't know what that is. Don't care. Great, though. Tell me more. You could do that with sleep with me, and you don't even have to even do it that much. You don't even have to be that active. You could just passively. There's some people that listen to me and mumble, and then there's some people that mostly listen till they stop listening. Or there's people who can't sleep who are listening, because this podcast, believe it or not, even though, like, when I started this show, it was kind of a new idea, sleep podcast, bedtime stories for grownups. This podcast isn't really meant or designed to put you to sleep. It's here to keep you company while you fall asleep, to take your mind off of stuff so you can fall asleep. Because, you know, thinking about falling asleep and trying to make it work never worked for me. Forgetting about the fact I was trying to fall asleep was the only thing that ever worked. So I don't know. In that sense, it is a little bit like the one part of magic where it's misdirection. I'm trying to misdirect you or direct your attention over here. And that's my job. I'm here because I'm here to the very end. Like, part of it is that the show is complete. The stories are complete. They're full of meanders, tangents, fluff, you may say. But they reach some kind of barely reach some kind of conclusion. They're barely entertaining because there's people who are listening who can't sleep at all or who need a break during the day. And because they listen, it's some sort of, I don't know, like what the right word is. It's not irony or whatever, but, the fact that there are people listening means that you don't have to listen. And that maybe part of your brain says, oh, because I know I could listen, I don't need to. I don't know. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me, even though I've been doing it for a long time. But it does in a sense, right? I'm here for you. I'm here to be your boyfriend, your boar bae, your boar sib, your boar bud, your boar best, your neighbor, your boar bud, your boars, your boar bee, your boar bruh. You know, if you're in any county named Orange County, I'm your boar bruh. And or you're Orange County adjacent, right? And that's part of the spirit of the show. You say, oh, okay, you're just like a friend I call who has no expectation of me listening to them, but they'll talk to me while I fall asleep. I said, you got it now. Holy cow, this is a podcast that's never going anywhere. So that could throw people off. The other thing that throws people off is the structure of the show. And we've been doing the show a long time, and there's a lot of ways to adjust the podcast as you become a regular listener, but the structure is based on the way most people experience the podcast, but then you can adjust it. So let me lay it out for you, right? It's intentional. So show starts off with a greeting. Friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Then I say something, an attempt at being somewhat humorous or goofy. That way you say, okay, I feel seen and welcomed in. I get the show is a little bit different. Maybe I'll check it out. Or for regular listeners, they say, oh, there's my boar bud. Not making very much sense again. I'm glad he's glad I'm here. And I'm glad I'm here. I'm in the right spot. That's a regular listener. For a new listener, say, I don't know, is this the right spot for me? Maybe I'll check. Let me check it out for a little bit. Then there's support so the show could be free. And that's just how most people consume it, is like they prefer the ad-supported version of the show. If you prefer ad-free version, you could support the show at Sleeping Me Plus and pay for ad-free experience, or you could refer people to the show like and join our referral program. Really, either one works. Then after the support is a long meandering intro. And some people, when they don't like the fact that the show, like they get, they dismiss the intro strongly, but the intro is not some sort of self-congratulations. It's not part of the support. It's about a 15-minute show within a show where I talk about the podcast in a very inefficient way. That's different every single time, but follows a familiar structure every single time. So you have some sort of reassurance, oh, okay, but it's different, so your brain or whatever's keeping you awake can't quite adjust or predict what I'm going to say. So it stays barely engaging. I don't know. That's important to me. Otherwise, I could just make a two-second intro or repeat the intros, but the intros are an important part of the show. Not just for that part, like you say, okay, I get it. But the intro is not so much meant to put you to sleep. There's 2% of people that skip the intro, probably about 2% of people that fall asleep during the intro. But for most people, the intro is part of the process of getting to sleep. So people are getting ready for bed or winding down or getting comfortable. While the intro could put you to sleep, it's meant to ease you into bedtime. And that's what's worked for me personally and what most fact-based stuff shows. Having a wind-down routine works. So that's what the intro is. Then there's support after the intro, and then there'll be a story. Tonight we'll be unboxing a board game. It'll be fun. A lot of tangents, a lot of wah-wah wondering, because it's about wandering towers. So it'll be fun, or barely fun. And then the show ends with thank yous and good nights. So that's the structure of the show. That's why I make the show. I'm really glad you're here. I work really hard on this podcast. So do a bunch of other people. We all yearn and strive to help you fall asleep. So thanks again for coming by. And here's a couple of ways I'm able to do it for you for free twice a week. All right, everybody. I want to thank Claire and tonight's sponsor for supporting this episode and provide me with some samples. You know, I suffer from seasonal allergies. Not only do they get in the way of me living my life, they get in the way of me making this podcast to put you to sleep. Because when those allergies are really kicking in, I sound weird and I do not feel good at all. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. The double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. And that's what I like about Claritin D. It covers all those bases. For me, I love the relief from the runny nose and the sinus pressure. Holy cow. Those two things combined, I'm like the worst two symptoms I have at the exact same time. So I love the relief Claritin brings. And I've been taking Claritin D this spring for this allergy season. And it's been a game changer because I can go out on my runs and on my trail runs and not have to worry about, am I going to be able to record the podcast tomorrow because my nose is running and my sinuses are clogged? Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody, it is time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Air Doctor. There's an Air Doctor humming in the other room right now. You can't hear it, but I know it's there. And I know it's going to be smoky season here in the Bay Area. Not to mention they live by a freeway and a cement plant. And so I love the peace of mind and the easy use that the Air Doctor brings because it just works. It's one of those things, it just works. And you may hear me say this, and I mean it. I love my Air Doctor. Because Americans spend 90% of our time indoors. We take about 20,000 breaths a day. And according to the EPA, indoor air can be as much as 100 times more polluted than outdoor air. And just in my house, that's about 60,000 breaths a day between my daughter, my dog, Koa, and I. And I'm so happy. Air Doctor filters out dangerous contaminants and allergens such as pollen, pet dander, dust mites, and mold, so my lungs don't have to. Neither do your lungs. And the things I love about Air Doctor, one, it has a night mode where you could turn off all the lights. It has auto mode, or you could set the fan speed for what works for you. And I like to have my hair cleaned everywhere. In my room, in my daughter's room, and upstairs in our living room. I really believe you'll love it as much as I do. And they have a bunch of amazing options too now. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. So head to airdoctorpro.com and use the promo code SLEEP, and you'll receive up to $300 off air purifiers. And exclusive to podcast customers, you will receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. So lock in this special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com. That's AirDoctorPro.com and use that promo code SLEEP. Thanks, everybody. Hey. All right, buddy, this is Scoots here. This is a board game unboxing. This board game is big. It's a bigger box. It's not a card game. And I've not opened the box yet. I took off the wrapping. Seems really cool. It's also a gift from somebody that works on the show, Rusty Biscuit Russell. And Russell's worked on the show for a few years now, more than a few years, I guess. Time flies. And he was generous enough to send me this game. I don't even know with the intention of getting it on the show, but surprise, Russell. Also, not to plug Russell, but I will put Russell's info in this episode, because if you're looking for a wonderful actor, talk about bad ideas. I consider Russell to be my boss. I'm not kidding, because Russell's really good at managing everything behind the scenes of the show, and it was something I'd missed for years and years and years. So I hate to do this, but like Russell's an amazing actor. So if you are like casting something, directing something, thinking about directing something, use the link. I know there's people out there listening who are. Cast Russell or try, see if Russell fits one of your casting needs. Shakespearean chops, Russell's got him. So I don't know if anybody... you do know we did possibly get a shout out in The Mandalorian, but I'm not positive about that because no one at The Mandalorian's ever confirmed that, but listeners have, the great Baby Oso, Oso Sleepy scene. For me, it's a little bit, because I know a lot of Star Wars casting in the past has been Shakespearean. But it doesn't need, any project, just make sure, to give Russell a trailer where it could do Russell could continue to work on the podcast ideally and be in both worlds. But, if it's a regular, if Russell has to move on from the show, it would be a regular on a series or something. That's awesome. Or becomes a, blockbuster star. Then Russell could take over. I wouldn't want to do this either, but Russell could take over for Antonio Banderas. No, I'm just kidding, Antonio, even though he's not listening. He is later. Okay, so thanks, Russell, for this gift. Thanks for all the hard work you do on the show. I know a lot of people think I just sit down and record these episodes and we put them out, but it takes tons and tons and tons of labor. And it really is labor, labor of love, but a lot of hard work, not just with Russell, but with Carl and Chris and Tatiana and everyone else. There's Charlotte, Leah, Anna, everybody at PRX that works on the show and helps out in the show. LaShante comes to mind as our primary person. Everybody that works on the podcast, so we couldn't do it without everybody. Everybody that's worked with the show in the past. But this one goes out to Russell for this gift. It's called, the name of the game is Wandering Towers. And the box is a rectangle. It is like the long side of the rectangle is as long as my fingers and forearm. So what is that like? Definitely two feet, 1.5 to 2 feet, and then probably 12 inches, maybe nine. No, that's probably 12 inches. Holy cow. Maybe not, maybe 16. So maybe 2 feet by 16 inches. I don't know. Like is the rectangle. And then I'd say it's 3 or 4 inches thick. Name of the game is Wandering Towers. It's by Wolfgang Kramer and Michael Kiesling. And CG is the, we'll find out more about the company that runs it, but it just says CG. And the artwork on the top is, we have Wandering Towers at the top, written in a cool font, and then a blue cloudy sky. And then a mountainous backdrop. And then as we pan below, before we get to the main things, there's also a forest, a couple of rolling hills, clouds, or fog. There's a antlered, what do they call this? Not an antelope, but a moose or antelope or something, a fox and an owl. They're moving away. There's also three pigeons in the sky, and then a rabbit. Next to the rabbit is a wizard. And this is a like Middle Ages D&D type wizard. It got like in a crimson, maroon, ruby style robe with a hat. Also has a, what are those things called? Not a staff. What's it? Like a magic wand. It's casting something that's also reddish and ruby. They have a flask at their hip, probably with some sort of, you know, potion. And the wizard's back to us and is casting a spell on a tower, which seems to be, maybe it's wandering. Then there's another tower behind the forest at a distance. There's two wizards on that tower casting stuff. They're casting something in lime green, one of them. The other one seems to be preparing something. And the tower is teetering. It has three stories to it. The tower in the distance probably has three stories too. And that's it. Now, on the bottom short side, or no, on the sides. Let's go to the sides next. So the short side, rear end of the short side. I don't know what you call that. Is that like the back of the bottom of the inside? You know, the back of the top of the bottom of the drawer? It says Wandering Towers, and there's a frog drinking a potion that a wizard has left behind. Its tongue is out, and it looks like not a strawberry potion, but it's a little bit, it looks like it looks good. It's kind of a milky, reddish milky color. And so that's that side. Then the next side, okay, we're getting some instructions here. Is Wandering Towers. It shows the two towers from the cover. Well, oh no, only one pigeon or dove is flying, but there's still two wizards. And so there's two towers, cloudy blue sky, Wandering Towers, CG. But then it has the ages 10 plus, so ages 10 and up. Number of players 1 to 6. So I could play this solo, but I'll probably play it with my daughter. And it's a 30-minute game. Then again, the top short side is the same as the side. Wandering Towers, it just shows one tower, blue sky, CG. Oh boy. And then this one on the long other side, it has Wandering Towers. It has a tower and mist and wood, forest and rolling hill, but also some sparkling magic is happening in the Wandering Tower. So a lot of cool stuff. We haven't even got to the back of the box yet, huh? Okay, on the back of the box, we have Wandering Towers on the top left. It looks like it's written, it looks like a kind of a scroll set against the blue sky. It's got, you know, or a treasure map style piece of paper. Okay, it has three pictures and then some other stuff. And it's laid out, you know, to be pleasing to the eye, which I don't know how to describe. Like, there's three circles with gameplay happening. We have meeples, wizard meeples, by the way. But I don't know if they're meeple. Is it a meep? If it's more, if it's just a meeple person, a merson? Isn't a meeple a group of people? I don't know. Is a meeple an actual term, or is that just something from one game that I started applying? But it says, okay, number one, get your wizards to Raven's Keep. And we see a red meeple, a wizard meeple, going like with a red arrow going to the top of Raven's Keep. And Raven's Keep is a keep. It's looks like it's nighttime. There's a raven, maybe a raven statue above the door, windows, and are those called parapets or whatever? What's the other word that I actually know how to pronounce? That not bastions. I don't know. You know those things on the top of towers and castles, none of which I know how to say. I almost said the vestiges was the next word that popped in my head. I know that one's not correct. Parapets? I don't think that's correct. There's a podcaster's name I mispronounced last week, and everybody laughed at me. Not on the show, just in real life. Okay, so then two, and it's in a green circle, which really helps your tracking. I don't know, it just makes it look good. Then two, ride flying towers. There's a red meeple. It's riding a flying tower, which is moving. It's a two-story tower, but its tower is moving. We also see octagon board pieces that are interlinked. And three, catch wizards. Can't say got to catch them all because that's probably owned by somebody else. But you can catch your wizards to fill up your potion bottles with their essence, of course. So then we have the red wizard flying. Wait a second, is this one? So you start off getting your wizards to Raven Keeps, not number. I don't know. I don't know. That's why we do a board game unboxing. Do we need to get our Wizards to Raven's Keep one, or is number one goal, number two goal, ride flying towers? What if you rode the fly? What if there was ever a faulty towers board game? I don't know. But number three, catch your wizards' essences to fill your potion bottles. So this one has the tower landing on another tower with a green wizard, a purple wizard, and a rust-colored wizard meeple. And there's magic happening. We also see some of the octagons. They're interconnected. There's one, there's a dock. There's a road. There's one with stones. There's one with trees. There's one with, maybe was that a fountain or something? Okay, before we get to the copy, though, or the further copy, we got, you know, by the way, this is not no three and under, man. There's meeples in this, so no three and under, please. And the color and content is subject to change without notice. You got your UPC code. Illustrator, Michael Menzel. Designers, Wolfgang Kramer and Michael Kiesling. All rights reserved by Abacus Spiel. It's GB, something about it's a German company, made in Germany. Capstone Games, that's the CG. Cincinnati, Ohio. So I guess, I don't know, does it sell under AS, Abacus Spiel in Germany and in Europe, and then Capstone Games in the U.S.? I don't know. Let's hop over contents, and then we'll go to the copy. We got, maybe we shouldn't. Well, yeah, because I don't know if there's, holy cow, there's 24 wizard meeples. So meeples is not nothing's capitalized except for Raven's Keep. There's towers, landscape tiles, spells, movement cards. 24 wizard meeples. Holy cow, I could play all day. 36 potion bottles, player token, rule book, and a dice, a single dice, which, you know, is a big farmed. One big farmed. What's the singular of dice in Sleep With Me podcast that we just discovered for the first time? Whatever we're on, episode 12, I don't know, almost 1250 or something. Yeah, so dice is plural for one big farmed. It's It doesn't make any sense to me at all. Well, if you listen to Sleep With Me, it might. Yeah, you have Dice, and then we have a single, Big Farmed. It doesn't, I love it. Still discovering new things that only make sense on the show and are barely hilarious. One Big Farmed. Have I noticed that before? I just never, or did I just call it what it was? Okay, so let's see. I'll do a paraphrase of the copy. Every year, graduating classes of Raven's Realm Magic School, they get to demonstrate their mastery. Okay, so this is like a safe space. It's just a school. Final exam. Everybody's procrastinated. They're distracted. They're trying to learn new stuff. They've used up all their potions, but they can't show up unprepared with empty potion bottles. Okay, so yeah, they are trying to get to Raven's Keep as quickly as possible using magic. They could even move the very towers on top, which they stand to get there more easily, but how can they refill their bottles along the way? Here's the secret. We took it from, basically Pokemon, but not totally, because it's more of essence. Essence in a bottle, man. Or, if you're listening to that song by the Authority, another one, the Authority Figures. What band was Sting in? The Authority Figures. They had a song, Magic in a Bottle. And Christina Aguilera had a song, Genie in a Bottle. It's an essence in a bottle, baby. I think I'd go with Christina versus the Authority Figures. I thought it was shorter than that. I don't remember Sting being in a band with like multiple words. It's the Authority Figures. You just say it fast, the Authority Figures. No, it doesn't sound right. They had a song Synchronicity, right? Her album. Christina Aguilera, Essence in a Bottle, Baby. Okay, time to open the box. You won't hear me, but I'll be back because I got to open the box and then see what kind of other stuff I got to do. Also, you know what I just realized? We've been opening a lot of tins. This box is a box. This box will make a, have you ever opened a box and it makes box gas? Like your box passes gas? This one will do that. I could sense it. Because of the, the actions of the gas on the inside, something vacuum. Your game box makes a passing gas sound. It does. How come people don't do any more? This is, again, we're really digging into Sleep With Me stuff here. Only on Sleep With Me would you realize it. What do you need a whoopee cushion for? We got a ton of board games. Just find a board game that makes a gas sound. Okay, so I'm going to open it, and I'll probably edit out the gas sound. Okay, it didn't make the gas sound because I put it on the spot. I was a little shy, The box said, oh, boy, I'm shy now, even though you're going to edit it. Okay, so one thing I like right off the top, I'm assuming this is the rule book. It is very thin. That means it's concise. We'll get back to it, I'm hoping. Okay, another thing I really like, this is some assembly required, but it is printed on cardboard, and oh boy, it's got that cardboard new game smell. Yeah, let's go through the card. You're right, let's go through the cardboard. My cardboard's upside down, so I'm going to flip it over here. How many cardboard sheets do we have? Five. Cardboard sheet one, we've got the emblem for Raven's Woods or whatever. We've got the tower topper base, the tower sides, and then we have a tower that looks like a tan tower. They're different. This one's a tannish, dark tan tower. And then we have some potion bottles. So these are green wizard potions. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So the green essence in a bottle, baby. Then we have yellow, not that kind of yellow, more of a bright yellow, not lemonade. Well, I guess it could be considered that essence, but yeah, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, then a blue essence for the blue wizards And that's it for that one. Number two, coming in at number two, two more towers, or maybe, yeah, one, no, two more towers. These are sand colored, and then tower bases, one of the bases or tops has, the tops of the tower, this tower has Ravenscraft's emblem on the roof. And then we have one section of the map with 1, 2, 4. Is it an octagon? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Except it's interconnected, but 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Oh, no, 8. Is that right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. But they're interconnected. It's because it has a tab on either, like, an end, so you can connect them. This is the one with the Ravenswood's base. Then a stone area. There's a pass. This is the one from the cover. It has a dock into a lake or river, and then another one. Oh, and then 3 silver wizard's potions. I don't know if those are more rare or we'll get more later. Next up, upside down, but we'll make it work. 2 more towers. These are an even darker brown color, almost burnt toast color. Well done toast color. 2 of those, along with their tops, but they don't have any symbols on them. And then another piece of the board, only 4 octagons. This one is kind of like a fall feel, even though the trees are green. I don't know, it's kind of got a sepia tone to it, green. It's going through the farmlands or something. Or there's a little farm, or whatever, field section. I mean, it could be wild growing grass and rose. And then we have 3 amber, orangish amber hued wizard potions on that one. Okay, this is confusing. I'll tell you why in a minute. Okay, we have 2 more towers, one with Raven's symbol. Nevermore? No, just Raven's symbol, not Nevermore. But so these ones are back to the mid, or no, the lighter sandy color, I guess. And that one has a Ravenscraft symbol, did I say that? Then 3 more silver potions. And then this is why it's confusing. There's another, at the foot of the mountains is another place with a Ravenscraft shield or whatever you want to call it. A tree stripped of its leaves because we're at the base of the mountains, and then a path going through the mountains. So 4 octagons, 1 in the mountain foothills, and then 3 in the mountains, the last one coming out of the mountains. All right, number whatever. I think is this our last? No, we got one more after this. Okay, so now we have 2 more towers. These are the burnt toast color towers. We got 3 more amber potions, orangish amber, and then we have another sepia one, but this path goes through the forest clearly. It's got, you know, pine evergreen trees. One has another tree. As you exit the forest, like a more bushy tree, deciduous possibly, but I can't guarantee that. Okay, then we have, like, I don't know why this curious pose has just popped in my mind, but, okay, so we have 6 more silver potions. I don't know, what do we got, 12 silver potions or something? Then we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 circles, coin, like larger than a coin, though. And they have wizards doing stuff. I don't know. So these are like awards or action things, buffs, or you could cash them in. So the first one is, it has a cost, 1 silver potion or a gift that it comes with. And the wizard is lifting a tower above them or onto themselves. Then the next one has a wizard in the wind, and its cost is 2. It's a -1. Like wind for the wizard, for 2. Then you have one that costs, or whatever, is only 1 silver potion, but it's a -2, and it shows a leaning tower in the wind. Then after that is two. It doesn't have a plus or minus, but it shows one wizard carrying another wizard on their back. So friendship type stuff. Then we have a plus two, which is one silver potion. It shows the wizard, the tower floating along. That's plus two, a three-story tower. Okay, the next one is two potions. It shows the actual Raven's Keep moving. So that, flying on the back of a stone raven almost. So I don't know, that must, you know what I mean? I don't know. Like, maybe you can move it from one place to another, which would make sense, even in Dragonlance. So in Dragonlance, there was three wizard's towers, depending on which school of magic you went to. No, there's more than three, though, I think, because I can't remember, but one of them could move. And then there's another one that costs two potions. It's a plus one. It shows a wizard running. So presumably, these are like buffs or like help you with motion. Then there's another one with two, and it shows, I think, two towers switching their tops, maybe? I don't know. Okay, so that's it for that. Then I have two things that are meant to hold stuff, maybe? I don't know. Okay, then we have our big farm, or our singular dice. It's made of wood. So that's nice. It's a nice little feature. Okay, I guess this is for keeping stuff organized. So this box, it comes with its own organizational thing. That's nice. So that's pretty cool, that you could keep it organized, right? I got to explain what I mean. So I have the empty box, but it's not empty. It has one, two, three, four lanes in it. And then those pieces I just went, so it means you get separated into nine things. And it has symbols. There's one for the red meeples and potions and some tower for the orange, for the yellow. There's a place for everything. So this is just like how Russell helps me run the podcast, keeping things organized, not joking. Okay, then we have the bag of meeples, which of course I have to take out. So there's purple meeples, got three of those. Actually, oh boy. Okay, so it just took a second to organize things and install the, it's got its own cubbies, I guess, basically. The way I have it turned, it's like a cubbied. Okay, so there's three purple meeples. There's four red meeples, three orange meeples, four green meeples, five blue meeples, and five yellow meeples. And next up are the cards. All the backs of the cards look like a spell book with a raven on it. I see. This is like, so there's a one, two, three, four with a running wizard. It has a number one on it, which we saw earlier. So maybe you draw a card and then you get that buff. Oh, but no, then there's one, two, three, four with a running wizard with a two on it. And it's like the spell book is open on another side of the page is like stuff written in wizard language, which if I try to read it, that could, you know, if you've ever seen any movies, like that would be, you know, like that Friday that was so strange with, the multiple versions of the Friday that was so strange. Or there was one with Dudley Moore and Kirk Cameron where you say, hey, let's switch it up. I wonder if we could get Lindsay Lohan and Kirk Cameron in a switcheroo movie, probably not, but Lindsay Lohan was in that Super Strange Friday where we did the swap. So the next one is number three, same wizard running. There's four of those. Then number four, the wizard running. Then number five, the wizard running. Is there more than, is there one, 4. So there's 4 of all of those. Okay, but those also have a gray number, and it's gray where the wizard's running, and the wizard's writing is gray. Just in case we have to do this again, you know, if I have to undo any of this, they say, what happened to the time-space continuum economy? And some dude with a sleep podcast tried to read wizard's writing. It turned out it was real. And, of course, he can't even read his own. He read it as his own handwriting. And hence, once again, we had to go back in time. And so these next ones have a number, but it's a 3 tower and the wizard's writing, which obviously I won't read. And it goes up till number 5. Oh, boy. And then we get a double. Okay, so then the next card has a running wizard and the towers with numbers, no wizard writing. So these are safe because unless I read it as a, you know, pictogram. And then there's those, and those have different numbers. Oh, each one has a different number. So there's 1-1, 1-1, 1-1, 2-2, 2-2, 2-2. What does a wizard in a wizard's tower wear when they do ballet? 2-2, 2-2s. Okay, then 3-3, 3-3, 4-4, 4-4. What does a wizard and a tower say when they play golf and they hit the ball at the same time and then they say, look, 4-4, 4-4. Then it switches up to 5-1, 5 with a tower, 1 with the wizard, 5-1, 5-1, 5-1. How tall was that tower? It's 5-1, 5-1. 4-2 with the tower, 4-2 with the tower, 4-2 with the tower, 4-2, 4-2. Then 2-4 with the tower and the wizard, 2-4, 2-4, 2-4. You know, what it was when you tried to, when I tried to write something Shakespearean, like one line using numbers for Russell to say, it was what 2-4 are on ye cards, okay, then 1-5, 1-5 with the tower. And, oh, boy, then, okay, then we got, oh, boy, so these are a little variety here. Then there's dice, so you roll your own, man, dice symbols on each one. So that one, and then a double dice, so 2 rolls for the tower. What was that song, the folk song Scooter tried to write about the game he was unboxing? 2 rolls for the tower, 2 rolls for the wizard. Actually, it was another reboot of 7 brides and 7 7 wizards or whatever. 7 towers for 7 wizards. It was a rom-com, actually. Oh, there's a triple roll for each one, too. How many rolls are there? Oh, there's only 1 triple roll, though, so that's really, you know, good to get. All right, so I have everything unboxed. I'll be honest, I have no idea of the gameplay at this point. So we're going to have to dig into the rules here. Okay, starts off with the contents of the box. First, you assemble Raven's Keep. It's 3 steps. It's actually 4 steps. Take it out. First, before you play your game, remove all components from the punch boards. What's your favorite drink? What's your favorite punch? Punch board punch. Okay, then assemble Raven's Keep in the 9 towers as depicted below. Don't worry, you'll be able to store them in the box without disassembling them. Thank you, game. This is great. All right, so we got Raven's Keep. After you take it out of the thing, it's 3 steps. 1, fold it together. 2, put the top on. 3, push the top down. You're good. Then there's 5 Raven Towers and 4 normal towers. The Raven's Towers, obviously, are the ones that can fly, maybe. Okay, and that's, careful, insert the they're called battlements, dance-offments. Battlements changes to dance-offments and sleep a little behind the scenes. Do that carefully with these towers. Not with the Raven's Tower for some reason, but... Just so you don't fold them down. Plus, you got to do, you know, the towers got to land on each other. So that's only 2 steps. I don't understand. Oh, because you don't have to. Oh, no. I guess it just kind of. They wanted to put that careful in, so they dropped it to 2 steps. Okay, then you got landscape tiles. They're arranged in a circular path, 16 spaces. Some spaces have blue fairy lights. In clockwise order, place the three light spaces, the two light spaces, and the one light spaces, and then the others. Don't understand that, but I will. Raven's Keep starts at 1 and can end at 4. Okay, then those other circular ones, the coins are magic spells. And then we have 90 movement cards. Okay, so that's how you move, obviously. Then we have the meeples, the starting player token in the form of Raven's Shield, potion bottles, and one singular dice. Okay, goal of the game is to fill your potion bottles, all of them, and get all of your wizards to Raven's Keep. Doesn't matter what you do first, though. Move your wizards into Raven's Keep with good timing. Fill up your potions by landing, you know, pick another wizards up in their essences. But if your own wizards are stuck, you got to free them. Okay, so it's like you're taking the essence, but you're not taking the wizard. Okay, set up the landscape tiles, place Raven's Keep on the starting spot. Going clockwise, place a tower centered on each of the 9 spaces as followed. Start with the Raven's Tower, then alternate normal and Raven's Towers. I.e., you go Raven's Keep, then a tower, then a raven, then normal. I mean, who am I to call any towers normal? Like, or regular, but I'm not. I'm just paraphrasing. Then you set up the spells. For your first game, there's only 2 spells. Advance a wizard and advance a tower. Face up near the circular path. Return the other 6 spells to the box. So for more excitement, randomly select a number of spells. The more spells, the more tactical the game becomes. Place them near the circular path. Return the rest to the box. Shuffle the movement cards. Deal each player 3 cards for their hand. Return the rest to the infield of the circular path with a discard pile. Place the single big farm or the big farmed in the center in the infield of the circular path. I'd like to be on, I feel like I am on the circular path. I said I'd like to be on the circular path, but I actually am trying to get off it. I'm on the ovular path, obviously. Okay, then you pick a starting player token. Turn order is clockwise, starting with this player. Okay, so choose a starting player. Starting player token, and then turn orders clockwise. Okay, it took me twice to realize that. Okay, each player chooses a player color. Different colors are available at different player counts. See table below. And then takes a number of wizards and potion bottles for your player counts. Oh, wow. So if you only have 2 players, you can only play blue and yellow. 5 wizards. Are you calling my wizards yellow? No, your wizards are, your meeples, your wizard meeples are yellow. Yellow, you mean? Okay, there's 6 potions. Then if you go to 3 players, there's only 4 wizards and 5 potions, and you can be blue, yellow, red, or green. If you move to 4 players, it's still 4 and 5. 5 players, 3 and 4. So you'd be any blue, yellow, red, green, orange, purple. That goes for 6 as well. Your potions go in front of you, empty side up. I never looked on the back of the things. Just realized that. So the silver is just that it's empty. Oh, Scoots, learning something new. I didn't realize the everything was two-sided. You know, that's just, I'm short-sighted, man. Short-sighted, too. All right, let's get into the gameplay already. Okay, then... Potions go in front of you. Okay, each tower's space depicts a tiny number of blue. Oh, they changed it to Casper lights here. It was fairy lights before. The first 3 spaces have 3 fairy lights. The next 3 have 2, and the final 3 have 1. These lights indicate the number of wizards that start atop each tower. filled each tower to its number as follows, starting with the first. This is complicated. I mean, for me reading it. Okay, for the first tower, you do the following. One wizard, in turn order, place one of your wizards in this tower. If the number of wizards on that tower matches number of blue lights in the space, skip to the next tower. Continue like this till everyone has all of their wizards on towers. Okay, so like tower one, I can't see, but it looks like it's three or four wizards on there. Right now in the example, they're playing a 1, 2, 3, 4-player game. Okay, playing the game clockwise, starting player, on your turn, you must play two cards from your hand face up on the discard pile one at a time, people. For each card you play, you can perform its move if at all possible. Alternatively, you may forego both actions and discard your entire hand and advance any tower one space clockwise. But you got to see cards that move a tower below. In either case, at any time during your turn, you may spend full potion bottles to cast one spell. See casting a spell. Finally, draw to refill your hand to three cards. Each time the deck is depleted, reshuffle with the discards. Movement cards. There's three cards, movement cards. Cards that move a wizard. Those have a wizard on the right side of the page book. Cards that move a tower, those have a tower on the left side. Cards that move either a wizard or a tower, these cards depict a tower on the left and a wizard on the right. Cards that move a wizard, you move one of your visible wizards. If the card depicts a number, advance the wizard exactly that number of spaces. If the card depicts a single big farmed, roll the big farmed to determine exactly how far the wizard will advance. Each additional big farmed, so if it's dice instead of big farmed, well, it's still you roll your big farmed once. You may re-roll your big farmed once. However, if you do, you forfeit the previous roll. Okay, so for the one with multiple ones, you just get to pick your highest roll. Only after your final roll, you have to move that number. Okay, so that's, you just re-roll. So that's a little risk taken there. Whenever a wizard's move ends in a space with a tower in it, the wizard goes atop the tower rather than in the space. Cards that move a tower. You can move any tower. Ravens keeps it out of tower, by the way. Along with everything stacked atop it, yes. If Ravenskeep is atop the stack, it goes along too. Once you have lifted a tower, you cannot change your mind. That has a star, which I'll look up here. I don't see it. I don't know. The star, now I lost my spot. I don't know. You cannot change your mind. There's a star. We'll find out what that means. No tears are probably something. Save your tears for another day or a rainy day. Okay, if a card depicts that number, advance the tower exactly that number of spaces. If the card depicts a big farm, so it's the same. Whenever a tower's move ends in a space with towers in it, the tower goes on top. And those wizards, you catch them all. Note, all nine towers and Ravenskeep could end up in the same space. Oh, there's a continuation to the next page. Okay, so this goes to continued for wizards. Each tower, not a very good layout here. No offense, but you want to keep it all on one page because this is confusing for a sleep podcast. Okay, cards that move a tower, wizard. Each tower, an empty space that can hold up to six wizards. If a move would exceed that limit, you can't move it. So no more than six wizards. Whenever a wizard's move ends in the space with Ravenskeep, perform the following steps. Put the wizard in Ravenskeep, where the wizard will remain to the end of the game. Advance Ravenskeep's keep clockwise to the next space or tower top depicting a raven's shield with no wizards in it. If there are no spaces, Ravenskeep stays where it is. Your turn ends immediately if you put a wizard in there. Fill your cards. Note, you must always use the full movement. If the movement number would take the wizard past Ravenskeep, you can't do that. You can't stop shorts. Okay, cards that move a tower. A tower of move ends in a space with wizards in it. The tower covers the wizards. If your move would put a tower on Ravenskeep, you can't make that move. Note, if you accidentally lift a tower whose move would place it atop Ravenskeep, your turn ends immediately. Wow. So if you're bad at counting like me, your turn ends immediately without moving the tower you lifted. Okay. Catching the wizards. If you move a tower in such a way that it catches wizards, they're caught until it's uncovered and they're visible again. When you catch a wizard, even your own, you may fill one potion bottle, no matter how many wizards, by flipping it over. If you have no empty potion bottles, you can still catch the wizards, but you can't fill your potions. Because you're catching wizards covered, you got to remember where they are. Wow, you can't peek. Wow, I like this game's getting interesting. It's much easier to fill potion bottles earlier in the game when fewer wizards are caught. Noted. Cards that can move wizard or tower, move one of your visible wizards or move any tower. If a card depicts a number, announce whether you're moving a wizard or a tower, then advance exactly that number. If the card depicts a dice, roll the dice to determine exactly how far a wizard or tower will advance. And did I say big farm dice or whatever? If it has additional the big farm down there, you can re-roll, but you can't keep your old roll. And then you must announce whether you're moving a wizard or a tower. Casting a spell at any time, you may cast one spell for your own benefit. The spells cast, the spells available for casting are placed face up during setup. To cast a spell, you must spend those potions, then apply the effects of the spell. If your spell causes a wizard to enter Ravenskeep, your turn ends immediately, and then you draw. Spent potion bottles are returned to the game box. So what if you... Okay, so you, end of the game. If you have no more empty potion bottles and all of your wizards are in Ravenskeep, you end the game. Finish a round so everyone has the same number of turns. If only one player has all the wizards in Ravenskeep and no potion bottles, they win. If several players... the player with among them with the most full potion bottles wins. If there's a tie, you share victory. Note, you are always allowed to peek into Ravenskeep to see how many wizards are in there. And it doesn't matter which goal you fill first. All right. Then they also have instructions for solo mode, solo with spells. So that they have cooperative mode. They have other variants, team variant, not so nice variants. And then the direct, like just finishing up with these spells, the description of spells. Advance a wizard plus one. Move any wizard one space. Advance a tower. Move any tower two spaces. That's a plus two. You can't move the, you can't use this to move a tower onto Ravenskeep. Swap a tower. Swap the topmost tower and the wizards atop them in two spaces. Headwind for a wizard. Move any wizard one space counterclockwise. Oh, so it is good. Headwind tower. Move any tower two spaces counterclockwise. Nudge Ravenskeep. Move Ravenskeep clockwise or counterclockwise to the next empty space or tower top, whichever it encounters in that direction. It does not have to move to a space tower top depicting a raven shield. Piggyback. You can cast a spell only when the current player is moving a wizard from a space to where you also have a wizard. From a space. They must move your wizard along with theirs. You can cast a spell on yourself when you're moving a wizard to a tower top where you have at least two wizards. Free a wizard. Lift any one tower to free one of your wizards from beneath it, placing the wizard on top. If the top of the stack is Ravenskeep, the wizard enters Ravenskeep. Clever you. If none of your wizards were under the tower, you lifted, you wasted a turn. And on the team variant, you can use this on your teammates too. And that's it for Raven's Keep. Well, what is it? Wandering Towers. Raven's Keep, Wandering Towers. Cannot wait to play this now that I've read the instructions. Don't really know any strategy yet, but it'll be fun. And I love these tactile games. So thanks, Rusty Biscuit. And don't forget, if you're working on any projects, stage, audio, screen, or, you know, whatever size screen, Rusty Biscuit, Russell's info will be in the show notes. Thanks and good night, everybody. All right, I wanted to thank some of our newest supporters at Sleep With Me Plus, Elena, Steven, and Tyler. Thanks and good night. Cameron, Catherine, and Ruth, thank you, thanks, and good night. Benjamin, Miss S, and S, those are two separate, two S's in a row. Thanks, and good night. Jasper, Georgia, and Emily, thank you, thanks, and good night. Matt, Catherine, and Courtney, thanks, and good night. Kate, Stephen, and Valerie, thank you, thanks, and good night. Sandy, Tim, and Emily, thank you, thanks, and good night. Natalie, Ryan, and Bethany, thank you, thanks, and good night. Nedra and Laura, thanks, and good night. And Tiffany, Lori, and Adam, thank you, thanks, and good night. Thanks, everybody who supports the show directly, whether you're a former patron, you support the show now on Sleep With Me Plus or Apple Podcasts. You're part of our referral program. You support the show for free, and you're building up those referrals so you can get ad-free story-only episodes. Or you support the sponsors, and you let the sponsors know about it. Thank you so much. If you're doing any of those things, you really are like the foundation of the podcast. It wouldn't be able to exist without those of you taking action. And that is why I take so much time to thank people, because I wouldn't be able to do it without all you. Or I could do it twice a month, maybe, without like all the support we get. So thank you so much. And this might be Scoots with the Tuck You In sponsor asking for support. So thanks and good night, everybody. All right, everybody. This is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review. And this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month, and what you can expect to see on in the public feed too. Now I have if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, and whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts, and on Android you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is I think this is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts: the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlists or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. That's popping the all intro, all night episodes. I know an all intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets season one, part two, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all intro episode came out. And then we had March is that bonus episode. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed, let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On week started last week. So we had 1254 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 1253, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelix, like we're getting ready, big announcement. If I haven't made it anywhere, we're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Sabelix. So that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And that was episode one of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 1252 was the finale of the Great British Bake Off. And episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut. That was a good one. 1250, one of my favorite episodes probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of like some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4. And then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. Again, if you ever need support, support@supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not like, you don't need support, but if you do. And the other thing is like, yeah, this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it in at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right, and building your playlists from that podcast app. So, yeah, thanks, everybody, for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback@sleepingmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com. And good night.